So we're on Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, and we're talking about the Kriya Sator on various occasions, and now we're up to Chanukah. So that'll be, let's count up from the bottom of the page. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up from the bottom of the Omud. The Chanukah, we'll read it here, Parshas, Korbonos Hanesiyim, Shekrivu, Be'es Chanukas Hamizbeach, because the completion of the Mishkan was on the 25th of Kislev. That's what Rashi says above on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, and also during the time of Antiochus, when he contaminated the Heichal, they made a Chanukas Abayis for the 8 days in the Beis Hamikdash. U'maftir b'neiros Zechariah, because Zechariah is the Navi that foretells the building of the Bayis Sheni, and in his dream in Perek Dalet he sees Vehine Menoras Zahav Kula, he sees a golden candelabra, Vegulal Rosha, Vishiva Neroseho Aleo Shiva. So he sees these 7 candles, and we begin this Haftorah by reading Rani Vesimchi Bas Tzion. Now, if there's only one Shabbos of Chanukah, we're going to read Neros Zechariah. However, if there are 2 Shabbosos in Chanukah, that's the next line in the Gemara, then we're going to read on the second Shabbos the Haftorah of Shlomo HaMelech. And good morning. How are you, Chaim? You want to join us? We just started now.
Yeah.
Osher, good morning. How are you doing?
So I spoke to Norman.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any.
He says,
"I
begin after." Right. Those are the interesting.
Right.
Okay. So, Chaim, you want to look on? Maybe you look on with Osher or John.
I can do that too.
Actually. All right. So, if there are 2 Shabbosos of Chanukah, then we're going to read the Haftorah of Zechariah on the first Shabbos, and the Haftorah from Shlomo HaMelech on the second Shabbos. And the Haftorah of Nero Shlomo, as it's called, which is the 8th parak of Melachim, that is a description of the Chanukah Sabai Sarishon, the first Beis HaMikdash. So he says here in the note that the reason why we give preference to Zechariah, even though Zechariah is much later than Shlomo, and it's the second Beis HaMikdash, which ostensibly has less of a status than the first Beis HaMikdash, because the Gemara says in Yuma that the second Beis HaMikdash was missing all the different things that were existing in the first Beis HaMikdash. But nevertheless, that since Chanukah, the holiday of Chanukah, commemorates the Nisan that took place in the second Beis HaMikdash, therefore it's more appropriate to choose the Haftorah from Zechariah, because Zechariah Novi is foretelling the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. So it's more appropriate, if we have a choice, that we give preference to Neros Zechariah. That's what the Gemara says. The Mikloi Shtei Shabbosos. If Chanukah begins on Shabbos, so there's going to be a second Shabbos on the 8th day of Chanukah, then B'Kamais on the first Shabbos, B'Neros Zechariah. We'll read the Haftorah of Neros Zechariah. The second Shabbos at the end of Chanukah, B'Neros Shlomo. Fine. What's the Kriya for Purim? We're on the end of Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. It's Vayovo Amolek, right? Haman was Mizera Amolek, and therefore it's appropriate that we read the Kriya from Amolek. This is in Parsha Shlach. And that's what we're going to do on Purim. Okay, to the best of my knowledge, there's no Haftorah on Purim. Am I correct?
Damn.
So why is there Haftorah on Chanukah? That's only because it's Shabbos, not because of Chanukah per se. So during the weekday, we're not going to have Haftorah. But on Shabbos, we have Haftorah.
Plus, we have a substitute Haftorah.
Correct. Now, Rosh Chodeshim. So what is the Kriya for Rosh Chodesh, which, as we said, is in addition to the Kriya of Sheni V'Chamishi? So that means the following. If Rosh Chodesh coincides with Sunday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, then we read only, exclusively, the parasha of Rosh Chodesh. If, on the other hand, it's a Monday or a Thursday, then we'll read both the parasha Shavua and Rosh Chodesh. That would seem to be the logical way of understanding it. However, we saw already in the past that there's a precedent called the Moadim, that the Moadim replace the normal Kriya. And we'll see exactly how that kicks in the case of Rosh Chodesh. So what is the Kriya for Rosh Chodesh? Burashe Chod Sheichem. This is in Parshas Pinchas and Sefer Bamidbar. And this details the special Korban Musaf that we bring on Rosh Chodesh. Now we have the case of Rosh Chodesh Chalios B'Shabbos. So Rosh Chodesh coincides with Shabbos. Maftirim, the Haftorah is going to be V'hoya Midei Chodesh B'Chodesh. Because that Haftorah is very appropriate in the fact that it reflects Rosh Chodesh. And therefore it's the best choice for Rosh Chodesh on Shabbos. Now, if you take a look in the Torah Or, I don't know if you have the Torah Or, thank you, on the bottom, he says the following, that, okay, now I'm not finding it, but in any event, this is the Haftorah V'Hayamidei Chodesh B'Chodesho. Now, I have a footnote here in the Masifta that I wanted to share with you, and it's based on the Chochma Shlomo, Reb Shlomo, the Marshal. He says the following: V'docha Haftorah zu es Haftorah shel Parsha Shavua af al gav detodeh v'shein detodeh todeh kodem. He asks the following question: after all, the Haftorah of a Shabbos is todeh. Rosh Chodesh only happens occasionally. Let's say maybe it's twice a year. So why is it that Rosh Chodesh gets precedence over the regular Haftorah of Shabbos?
Is this question only in Rosh Chodesh? I could also say Shabbat Chol HaMoed.
Well, in the case of Chol HaMoed, we said that that's a separate din of Moed, and we had a long discussion about this based on the Netziv.
Mm-hmm.
That Moed might have a special because Vaydaber Moshe's Moed Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of Rosh Chodesh, he says the following: Kosav HaChachma Shlomo, this is the Marshal, Sheklal Zed, this principle of Todir V'Sheinu Todir, Nema Gaklin in Kedima. If you have two mitzvos and you want to know which comes first, you give preference, the antecedent is going to be the mitzvah that's more common. Avol Inyan Haftorah, when it's not a question of Kedima, but rather it's a question of one or the other, so therefore we apply the principle of Me'ein Hayom. So the principle of Me'ein Hayom, that the Haftorah has to reflect the day, that gives Kedima over to Todir. And Kedima here means in an either-or situation. But if it's a matter of sequence, then in sequence we apply the principle of Todir She'ein or Todir. So that's the Marshal. Then the Gemara continues. We're now in the bottom of Daf Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph. Chal Lios Bi Echad B'Shabbos. There's a special Kriya in the case where Rosh Chodesh there's a special Haftorah, I meant to say, in the case where Sunday is going on Shabbos, when Sunday the following day is going to be Haftorah, that's called Machar Chodesh. So the Gemara says Chal Lios Bi Echad B'Shabbos, if Rosh Chodesh is on a Sunday, the first day of the week, May Esmol, then on Shabbos itself, the day before Maftirin, we read the Haftorah Vayomer Lo Yohanan's son Machar Chodesh. Now, as we want to mention the fact that tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Now, this reflects also the halach of Hachroza, that we want to notify the people when Rosh Chodesh is. You know, back in the day, they had a whole system of notifying the people. You may recall Masi and Masos, we spoke about the fires from one mountaintop to the other. But now that we don't have that, we only have the calendar, so we want to go out of our way to make announcement, a public announcement. And we do it in many different ways. Number one is on the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh we announce. We also have the special Haftorah in the case of Machar Chodesh. We also have the Kol Yisrael HaRevim Zelaz, you know, we take out the Sefer Torah and we announce. And we have Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. All this is to make sure that people know when Rosh Chodesh is. Now we get to the Avelus of Chodesh Av, and that's Mandaf Lamed Aleph Omid Beis. Rosh Chodesh Av. Now here, by way of introduction, I just want to mention there are two approaches and two opinions as to when the Avelus on the Bayis, on the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. When does it begin? One opinion is that it begins on Rosh Chodesh Av, and that's the opinion that we see reflected here. We're going to have a special Kriya, a special Haftorah for Rosh Chodesh Av, if it's on a Shabbos, because on Shabbos we read Haftorah. There's another opinion, and this is more reflective of the Sephardic poskim, that the Avelus of Churban, which is called Avelus Yeshana, is initiated, inaugurated by Shua Shechalba, that week in which Tisha B'Av is going to fall, which means that there's no Avelus on Rosh Chodesh Av. So let's just see about the Kriyas HaFtorah here on the top of Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis. Rosh Chodesh Av Shechalios B'Shavis is Maftirin. We have a special HaFtorah, and this HaFtorah comes from the beginning of Yeshayo and Novi, and the Novi is very harsh in his castigation of the people. He says, Chodshechem O'adechem Sona Nafshi Hoyu Alay L'Torach. It means that God detests our observance of Chodesh and of Moed because we're not sincere about it. We bring these karbonos perfunctorily and we're not dedicated to Hashem. So he says the following. This Haftorah begins Chazon Yeshayahu. But the Gemara when it formulates where the Haftorah or the name for the Haftorah begins a little bit into the Haftorah, into the Perek itself, 14 Psukim into the Perek which begins Chazon Yeshayahu. And the reason for that, he says in the name of the Sifsei Chachamim, is to indicate that this Haftorah mentions Rosh Chodesh. And since we're talking about Rosh Chodesh Av and the Haftorah that we're going to read on Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, therefore he starts with Chodshechem O'adechem. However, in fact, we will begin with Chazon Yeshayahu. So sometimes,
but not on Rosh Chodesh Av.
Say it again?
Not on Rosh Chodesh Av. We do that.
Again, we're not up to our minute yet.
Okay.
I'm just talking about the Brisa. Okay. We're going to get to that minute in just 1 second if you have a little patience. But as far as the Brisa is concerned, the Brisa begins Avelus on Rosh Chodesh. And therefore, there's a special Haftorah in which God finds our observance of Rosh Chodesh repugnant. And that's in Yeshaya. The only point we were making is, and that's the Sifsei Chachamim, that although the Haftorah L'maisa starts at the beginning of the chapter, the Braisa gives it a different name to indicate why this perek in Tanakh is appropriate for that period of time. Now, we have a discussion here in this long Tosus, which we're not going to go through. I'm just going to summarize one point. The Gemara in Masechta Tainis, at the very end, quotes two opinions as to when the Avelus for Churban begins. Rav is of the opinion that the Avelus of Churban begins on Rosh Chodesh. However, the Gemara there quotes a brisa of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, which is the Tanoim during the period of Tanoim before Rav, that the Avelus doesn't begin until Shvua Shechalbo Tisha B'Av. This brisa that we're learning now reflects the opinion of Rav. However, la halacha, we paskin not like Rav, but rather like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. And therefore, we're going to postpone the reading of this Haftorah called Chazon until the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. So it's not on Rosh Chodesh. My hayu alai l'tor. This is an agadic sort of interruption or a digression in which the Gemara now wants to understand, what did Yeshayo HaNavi mean when he says in front of the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hayu Olai L'Torach? In other words, Kaviyochel Hashem is infinite. You know, to say about he's omnipotent, right? To say about God that it's a tircha for him. What is the meaning of this pasuk? Chodshechem O'adechem Son of Nafshi Hayu Olai L'Torach? Like it's a real hassle for the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Gemara explains the following. God declares, Lo dayon lahem liYisrael shechotim lefanai. It's bad enough that the people sin in my presence on the various Moedim and Rosh Chodesh. But Ella, not only that, Shematrichim osi leda ezek zera kosher ovi aleichem. So the way I understand this, and again, it's up to you. You can come up with your own interpretation. Mine is not Lakshin Kugel. It's not a Lakhla Moshvi Sinai. I just give you my take on this. The way that the Ribbono Shel Olam is manig the world, there are higher spheres, celestial spheres, and there's a Shefa that comes down from above through various channels down to our earth. This is a Kabbalistic notion, and they call it Shefa. Now, in certain cases, Hashem has to change that Shefa. If, for example, the people are guilty of a deficiency in emunah, in faith, then God says, if you don't have that faith, then the Shefa is not going to come down. So now Hashem has to change the Shefa. The whole order of this, you know, metaphysical Shefa of the, you know, the flow, so to speak, that comes from above down to the earth has to be changed. For example, in the case of Shemitah, the Torah says that if you'll ask the question in Kain Man Nochal B'Shana Shviyas, what are we going to eat in the seventh year if we're enjoined from working the land during the seventh year? So the Torah's answer is Vitzivisi Es Berchasi, which means I'm going to have to set up a brand new system of Shefa in which you're going to have enough food produced on the sixth year to last you for the seventh year and to last even to the eighth year. All that is a new organization of Shefa. And the reason why Hashem has to reorganize is because the people asked, Manochal Bishon HaShviz. They didn't have faith in God. And if they didn't have faith in God, again, not everybody accepts what I'm saying, but according to that approach, they were lacking in faith, in the deficiency of faith. The Shefa is, so to speak, the tsinoros, these pipelines that bring down the bracha from above, are clogged up, so to speak. And if they're clogged up, then we have to have a new kind of Shefa. However, he quotes here in the Masifta a slightly different approach based on the Marsha. You know, the Marsha is the kingpin when it comes to Agadah. And the Marsha says the following. There's a basic principle about the way God bestows goodness and the opposite on man. It's called Midah Keneged Midah. Kidei Sheyeda Ha'odim, it's very important, it's fundamental that God wants us to know that this punishment is for this, is you know, that we can identify the punishment and its source in a particular crime. There has to be some quid pro quo relationship between the punishment and the crime. And we'll understand, therefore, Shalom b'mikra, it's not coincidental that bolo ha'onish, that we're suffering, el b'shvil ha'vera shenase. Again, you know, back in the day you had Nevi'im who would tell us exactly why we're being punished. But in the absence of Nevi'im, there's another principle called mida keneged mida. Now, at some point in time, Yeravam takes over the Malchus. This is after Shlomo HaMelech. And what does he do? He sets up golden calves. And these are meant to be worshipped. Not only that, he undermines Chodesh and Moed. And he creates new Moedim to replace the old ones. And as a result, Ragu Bahem HaOnshim Kifi Inyan HaAveros, that somehow the ownership, the punishment, would fit the crime, and there would be some sort of a punishment on the Moedim and the Rosh Chodashim because of his substitution. And he says, therefore, Zeh Omar Haya Alai L'Torach. Why is this a Torah? Later, HaKadosh Baruch has to find out, he has to, so to speak, investigate and figure out what Gzerah should he bring upon them that will fit the crime. It'll be a Mida Keneged Mida, so it can transmit the message that they have to do tshuva for a particular sin.
Wait, does that mean Shaul here is speaking just to the northern kingdom? Because that's where Yeravam ruled.
Could be, I don't know. We'd have to study that. But Tisha B'Av Gufei Mai Maftirin. On Tisha B'Av itself, what Haftorah should we read? Omar Rav, Eicha Ha'isol Zona. This itself is the same parak that we saw earlier, which is at the beginning of Yeshayahu HaNavi, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Chodsheichem Moadeichem Sona Nafshi. Nikra Mai, but what's the Kriya itself? You've discussed the Haftorah of Tisha B'Av. Tanya Achirim Omrim V'im Lo Sishma Uli. There are two sets of klolos in the Torah. One is at the end of Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Bechukosai. The other is towards the end of Sefer Dvarim in Parshas Kitovo.
This week said.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to see that this week's Sedra was important to set up a hefseh between. I mean, not this week's Sedra, but I mean, this week's Sedra has to be early enough to allow us to add another Sedra as a wedge between the Klolos and Chagas Shavuos. So we'll get to that in Mirtz Hashem soon. But first, let's talk about a machlokas here as to what the Kriya for Tisha B'Av, the appropriate Kriya, should be. Tanya. So the Brisa records two opinions. The first opinion is called Acherim, which generally speaking is Rabbi Meir. He says, V'im lo tishma'u li. These are the klolos at the end of Sefer Dvarim in Parshas Bechukosai. And those klolos are read in order to transmit to the people a message that they have to do tshuva if they want to avoid those klolos. Rabbi Nosson bar Yosef Omer, Ad ono yinatsuni ha'om hazeh. This is much earlier. Now, this is actually much later in the Torah, in Parshas Shlach. Let's see if in the Torah, or he quotes the entire pasuk. He says, Ad ono vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Ad ono yinatsuni ha'om hazeh, Vad ono lo yaminu bi b'chol ha'osos asher asisi b'kirbo. So this is Hashem lamenting the fact that the people are not observant, they're rebellious, and therefore we should be reading this parasha. You know, the interesting thing is that this parasha really took place not on Tisha B'Av, but on the 17th of Tammuz, because that's when the Meraglim came back with their evil speech. But I think the deeper meaning of this Gemara is that Chet HaMeraglim and Chet HaEgel, one is Shivas V'Tamuz and the other is Tisha B'Av, they work in tandem, so to speak. It's like one long Avera, we call it the Bein HaMetzarim period, you know, between Shivas V'Tamuz culminating in Tisha B'Av.
Wait, I thought it was reverse, because it's with the spies that the people cry. That's Bechir L'Dorot, that's Tisha B'Av, no?
Did I mess up here? Maybe you're right. Let's see. Shivas V'Tamuz is when they Shivas V'Tamuz is when they worship the eagle, and that's Shivas V'Tamuz. And Tisha B'Av is when the Meraglim came back. You're right. I said it in the reverse. So let's just think. We're talking about Tisha B'Av, and therefore it makes sense to talk about the Meraglim. Okay. Now we have a third opinion. Ad Mosai Li Eda Haroa Hazos. This is also in the Parsha of the Meraglim. That's also another possibility that's appropriate for Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av commemorates the Meraglim. But just we'll start a little bit later. So Yesh Omrim, so the Ad Ono is Pasuk Yud Aleph in that Perek, and Ad Mosai is Pasuk Chaf Zayin. Okay. Omar Abaye, Ha'idna Nog Alma, what's the minhag that's common in our time? L'mikri, to read a different kriya, neither in Lo Tishmuli nor the Parsha of Meraglim, but rather Ki Solid Banim. This is in Parshas Vaschanon, if I remember correctly. Let's just see what the Torah Or says. Ki solid banim uvnei banim v'noshantem ba'aretz v'shchatem v'asisem pesal tmunas kol v'asisem hara v'inei Hashem l'kech lach iso. Now again, what's happening here is that the Torah is, so to speak, predicting what's going to happen in the future. My Rebbe used to say that the key in this pasuk to link up to Tisha B'Av is the word v'noshantem. Vinoshanta means becomes old. Milason yashan. It's we get used to things. We take them for granted. We no longer have that experience, that inspiration, or that excitement. Umaftirim asof asifen. That should be your miyo, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see. Asof asifem ne'um Hashem, ein anavim ba'gefen, ve'ein te'inim ba'te'ino, ve'ha'ole novel, v'atein lehem ya'avrun. He says it's from Yirmiya.
Yirmiya uchet.
Yeah. Okay, now, for the next Gemara, we're reading these Gemaras pretty quickly. We want to make a siyum and start our regular Masechta. As an introduction, he quotes the parsha at the end of Bamidbar. Tzavis b'nei Yisrael matalem es karbani lachmi. This is an introduction to what's called Ma'amados. Why Ma'amados? Because when we talk about the karban tomid, which is brought twice daily, then Chazal say that we should require, and this is a theoretical requirement, logistically it's impossible, that the owner of the carbon has to be omed al carbono. So for example, if I bring up my own carbonola, I have to stand in the azor at the time of the akrava. But in the case of a tamid, you would need all of Klal Yisrael, because the bailus is the bailus of every member of Klal Yisrael as a carbon tzibur, to stand in the azor at the time of the shechitas hakarbon. That's impossible. So here comes in ma'amados. This is a takana that goes back to the early Jewish history, the time of the first Nevi'im, and they divided up the people of Israel into 24 mishmaros. So that means each group membership of Klal Yisrael would have 2 weeks during the year in which they would have to appoint their representatives to stand over the Karbon. Now, if let's say this mishmar was up in the north or down in the south, it was very difficult to expect that the entire group of the Mishmar would show up in Yerushalayim. So what they did was, they allowed representation through those who lived closer. He says the following, I'll call Mishmar of Mishmar, Ma'amad b'Yerushalayim shalkanim levim v'Yisraelim. So there would be a representation in the Asura that was made up of Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim.
Excuse me, is this the text of the Gemara or not?
No, this is just
okay.
An introduction.
Okay,
sorry. I meant to say it was an introduction. Ukshegiyazman ha-mishmar lalos, when it was that mishmar's, that was their responsibility that week, to go up to the Beis HaMikdash. So they would send up Kohanim and Levim, who would be in charge of the Avodah during that week. The Yisrael Shiva also Mishmar Hadorim B'Yerushalayim. They were local members of the Jewish people that were Israel, and they lived in Yerushalayim, right? They paid double price for real estate in the old city. And Odim al Karban Achim, they would represent their brothers together with the Kohanim and Levim. Harachokim B'Yerushalayim. What did the members of the Mishmar on that week that was their responsibility, what did they do up in Dan or down in Beersheba? Wisconsin, they would get together or ram in their cities, umispalim, and they would pray on behalf of the carbon that the carbon should be miskabel baratzon. Umisanim, and it would be fast days, the korin b'maisabracious, and they would read maisabracious. That's the introduction to what we're going to read now about the various days of the mamados and which kriya from mice of race would be appropriate for each day. And he says here in the footnote, in the name of the Yushalmi, that Omar Abiyona, Ilin Tmidim Karbonasem Shal Yisrael Inum, Im you call Yisrael Om Yushalayim, is it possible that the entire nation of Israel would be Ola to Yushalayim for the Tavid, which is brought daily? Les Ksiv, and the Torah only requires Shalosh Pam Bashana, Yeroa calls Churcha. So he says, well, what's going to be? Elat kinu neviim rishonim esrim v'arba mishmaros. I'll call mishmaru mishmaru yo'omed b'yushalayim kohanim levim yisraelim. V'al shem zeh nikra ma'amados. Ma'amados is miloshen amida mishum sha'omdim al hakarbon. And now the Gemara tells us in Tainus that the rest of the people would gather together for tefilos and for Tainus. And what would they read? They would read from Maisa Breishis. That seems a little bit odd. Why are they reading from Maisa Breishis? So let's go through the Gemara. B'mamodos, they read B'maisa Breishis.
That's from the Mishnah, actually, yes?
Yeah, that's this last Mishnah in Masechta Megillah that we started a week ago. And the Seder Akriya is explained in Masechta Tainis. And also the Gemara there in Tainis goes through the Seder, the Tfilos, and the fast days, and so forth.
Now, Masechta Bereishit is like 6 days of creation?
Yeah, that's what we're going to get to right now. So the Gemara wants to know, we not immediately, what's the relationship here between the Mamados and Masechta Bereishit? Why are we reading Masechta Bereishit on the Mamados? The Mamados are really linked up to the Karbon. What connection is there between the Karbon and the creation story? Amrav Ami, Il Mole Mamados, if not for the fact that Klal Yisrael bring karbonos, is something that we're going to learn soon from the Brisbane of a song with Avraham Avinu, Lo Niskaimu Shamayim Va'aretz. The creation could not persist. He says the following, and this is a summary of Rashi. He says, Lulei HaKarbonos, if not for the karbonos, Ha Yisrael Kolim Bechet'om, they would be totally destroyed, Chashon, because of their sins. And therefore, in order to protect and save the people of Israel, they need to bring karbonos. Mishal Yisrael kolim lohoisa habriya miskayemis. And God created the world racious bishvil Yisrael shenikraim racious. So there's a whole chain here. Klal Yisrael sin. Their continued existence depends now on karbonos. And therefore the continued existence of the universe depends upon karbonos. Because the purpose of the bria was for Klal Yisrael. And this is based on a pasuk in Yeshayahu and Navi. He quotes it in the Torah, or the complete pasuk. Let me see if I can find it. Ko amar Hashem im lo brisi yomam v'layla chuko shamayim v'oretz lo samti. Oh, I said it was Yeshayah. My mistake, it's Yirmiyah. And basically, he's referring to both Torah and mitzvos. And as the bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael is for the observance of both Talmud Torah and the kiyum of the mitzvos. Because Yom HaVelayla is a reference to the pasuk in the beginning of Tanakh. Bless you. V'yigisa bo Yom HaVelayla. That we should dedicate ourselves day and night to the study of Torah. And this is what keeps the world going on. Shenemar. Rav Ami quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyah. It says, "In lo brisi yomam v'loyla," meaning Talmud Torah, "Kimisukuko shamayim va'aretz lo samti." So the bria itself is totally dependent on Klal Yisrael. Yisrael is depending upon the fact that they could somehow save themselves despite the chet, despite their sin. And here we've quoted many times the pasuk in Yechezkel. You remember, "Hanefesh akotas tomus," that once man sins, he forfeits his right to exist. And therefore he desperately needs the karbon to be mechaper on the chet. So therefore there's no possibility of kiyum habris unless Klal Yisrael live up to their part of the covenant. And their obligation within the context of this covenant is to observe Torah mitzvahs. And therefore chuko shamayim va'aretz, which is depending upon the continued existence of Klal Yisrael, is dependent upon the kiyum habris, and that kiyum habris, once it's violated, depends upon hakrovas hakorban. Now here he quotes the Bartnura in a footnote. Again, I emphasize in a footnote, so you don't get mistaken.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah. And he quotes a mission at the beginning of Avos, and there, what the Bartnura saw in that Mishnah, you know, Shlosha Dvarim and all that, is that bishvil hakorban shehikriv Noach. Noach was the one, through his karbonos, who generated the shvua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he would never destroy the world through a mabul. So it means that the world is omed on the karbonos. That's what the Bartnura says in his introduction to Pirkei Avos. Now, the Gemara in the fourth parak of Tainis says that Korim b'Torah b'chol yom b'maiseh b'reishis, that during these days of Mamados, on each day, we're going to read another part of the story of creation, lodia, and this is a way in which we publicize shaholam omed al havoda avodas hakorbanos osim b'migdash. So that's explicit in the Gemara in Tainis that the world stands on the korbanos, and the continued existence of the world depends upon the korbanos. So therefore, when we read the story of creation, we appreciate the whole serious system of korbanos, which is meant to be mechaper. If we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, what do? We have to do tshuva instead. We have tefillah and tshuva. And the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos at the end of Tainis, he writes that Maisa Bereishis is the appropriate kriya ki shleimus hametzius he tlui of avoda, that the continued existence of the world depends upon the avoda. The ein avoda etzleinu, says the Rambam, ela korbanos. So that's the significance of the korbanos. The Gemara is going to prove this now from the parasha of the Bris Bein Hatzorim. Uksiv, it says, Vayomar Hashem Elokim Bameh Eida Ki Eira Shena. And the Gemara is going to say that Avraham Avinu is very concerned about the possibility that his descendants will do evil. They'll be guilty of sin. And if they'll do sin, then they forfeit their right to exist. So there's got to be some method of atonement for their sins. Otherwise, the whole concept that Hashem is being mavasir, and that his descendants will inherit the land, it's not a promise that could come true, because they're going to sin. So in the footnote, again, I emphasize the footnote, it says the following, Bikesh Avram Avinu Os V'Simon Al Yerusha Sa'aretz. He wanted some sort of a proof, or perhaps some sort of explanation, as to how God's divine promise would definitely come true. What guarantees that it would be fulfilled? And as we see in the Gemara here, Omar Avram Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch, now we're going back to the Gemara, Ribono Shel Olam, Shemach Chas V'Shalom Yisrael Chotim Lefanecha, the people of Israel would sin in your presence, V'yata Osa Lehem Kedar HaMabul Kedar HaFloga. These words, Kedar HaMabul, are very problematic, because Hashem already took a Shvuah, but we'll get back to that in just a minute. But first, I want to tell you that the Beis HaLevi of Parshas Lech Lecha says that Avraham Avinu had no suffek about the Avtocha. He knew that God was good for His will, His word. But maybe the word of God and the promise was contingent. Shechash Hashem sheyichtu Yisrael, the people of Israel will sin. Ulakath, therefore they'll forfeit their rights to the fulfillment of this promise, the Yerushas Haaretz. And the Beis HaLevi points out that we're going to see this as a recurring theme. For example, Yaakov Avinu is also going to be afraid, Shema Yigro Machet, that a divine promise is contingent on us, meaning that we fulfill our part of the agreement. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers, he responds, Yado Ateida Ki Ger Yezaracha Shalok Moshe Nog HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maknani Sheherif Lahem Shalva Samach Nismala Sasas of Yaz Nevdu Ella Yu Yisrael Bagolus Bishibud Keonish Al Chetam. In other words, in the case of the Goyim, Hashem waits until they finally pass the red line, the point of no return. But not so in the case of Klal Yisrael. They're going to suffer exile and subjugation as a punishment for their sins. But Lebasov, as a result of all that punishment, Tiskayim Avtocha, there will be a fulfillment of the promise, Yirshu Es Haaretz. And the words of the Beis HaLevi ring and resonate in our ears, because we know that until we came back to the land of Israel, there was so much suffering. So the punishment was meted out in such a way that Klal Yisrael could still achieve atonement, and therefore the promise of God would be fulfilled. And that's what Hashem is responding to Avram. Now, how could Avraham Avinu be afraid of a mabul if Hashem promised that He wouldn't destroy the world with a mabul?
Maybe He doesn't mean dafka by mabul.
Ah, okay, that could be one answer. I wanted to share with you the famous answer of the Maariv Chayyim. Ein hakavona sheyasa mabul shomayim. It's not a kavona that God will destroy the entire world with a mabul shomayim. Right? That now He's afraid that the entire world will be destroyed. Sorry, Nishmah HaKadosh Baruch Shalom Yavi Od Mabul. But rather, HaKadosh Baruch will bring about a Mabul to destroy part of the world. And that's not a violation of the Shvuah. And that means that part of Klal Yisrael might be destroyed by the Mabul. And as a result, the remainder of Klal Yisrael might not be able to inherit the land. Then he gives the second answer, which I think, Chaim, is your answer. And he says that when the word Mabul appears here in our sugya, it doesn't refer to a Mabul the way we understand the word Mabul. But rather, Mabul means destruction. It could be Shal Eish, it should be Dover Acher, it could be some other method of destruction, and therefore would not be a violation of Hashem's oath. Ubesivse Chachomet Bir al Pimashikos of Rashi, Rashi, the beginning of Shmos, says the following, Rak al Ha'olam Kulo Eino Mevi, Aval Uma Achas Mevi. But if it's part of the globe, part of the population of the world, that could be.
In other words, Kriyas Yamsuf.
Right, Kriyas Yamsuf is only part of the destruction of the world. Then he talks about the Dor HaFloga. The Dor HaFloga, Hashem, you remember, separates them and scatters them on the four corners of the earth, so that at this point, the world is, you know, the people of Israel will also be scattered like Dor HaFloga, Nimtza She'en Kiyum, there won't be a Kiyum of the Havtocha HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, if we had time here, but this is already more Agadaton, it's a sugya in the Dorim, the question is whether Avraham Avinu was really justified in this question of demanding an oath to clinch the Haftocha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One opinion in the Gemara is that this was a lack of Emunah. Others say, no, it wasn't a lack of Emunah. Avraham Avinu was just trying to make sure that there was some message here that Hashem would transmit to Klal Yisrael about how they, the people of Israel, would clinch and guarantee the fulfillment of the divine promise. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to Avram, Lav, Muvtoch, Lav, he says in Lav, Muvtochim Heim Shein Kayim, Lav, meaning you're making a mistake. My promise is absolute. You don't have to worry about any contingencies. Amar lo Fanav, so Avram Avinu says, wait a minute, Ribono Shel Olam, Bameh Eda. So Rashi interprets that Bameh Eda means, in what schus, in what merit will the people of Israel be worthy of this absolute, unconditional promise that no matter what they do in the future, they'll still inherit the land of Israel? How could that be? Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, and he says, Karbonos. And the entire Hemshech HaParsha here, the Brisbane of the Storm, is all about the various categories and types of animals and birds and so forth that could be brought as karbonos. Basically, the psukim now cover the entire gamut of karbonos. Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kecholi egla mishuleshes. And this is a reference to karbonos that will be machaper for Klal Yisrael. So even if the people will sin, I will not punish them like I did for the Dor Mabul, Dor Floga, in merit of the karbonos. So he quotes in the Marsha in the footnote, Shezoya Tshuva Shekiyumam Shal Yisrael Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam Bizkus HaKarbonos. Okay, we're going to have to see what those karbonos are made of. Avraham Avinu is going to get a command here in the Brisbane of to take Shar, Kesev, Eiz, Torim, Bnei Yonah. It's all spelled out explicitly here in the Parsha of Ben HaBesorim. But now we have to know what is going to happen after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. That's the next line in the Gemara. Amar lefan Rav Gon Shalom Tenach. Avram speaks to God and he says, okay. He speaks in like a Gemara and Talmudic dialectic. Tenach. Bishleim, I understand, is Manch Beis HaMikdash Kayam. So the Karbonos generate a Kapara, and that's going to be the power that staves off the punishment and the destruction of Israel. But Bismanch ain't Beis HaMikdash Kayam, we don't have the possibility of bringing Karbonos. Matahei Alehem. In other words, if they sin, they won't be able to achieve kapara in the absence of karbonos. And then, will it possibly be that there'll be a gzeir that Klal Yisrael will be destroyed, like the Dor HaFloga? Matahei Alehem. What's going to be? Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that if they can't bring the physical karbon, at least they could creed the parsha of karbonos, the kriya of Parshas Pinchas. Kfar tikanti lem seder karbonos. Okay, now the question is, what is the phrase Seder Korbanos? So if you look at the next few words of the Gemara, you don't know if it's in a positive phrase. It says, Kol Zman Shein Korim Bahem. So is this A plus B, or is B coming to explain what A is? Meaning, he says it's the Kriya Bahem. The Kriya means reading the Seder in the Torah, the Seder, the Parshas HaKorbanos. But the first phrase says, Seder HaKorbanos, what is that referring to? So let me read to you a couple of notes here in the name of the Marsha. He says the following, Be also Maimon Shel Brismein HaMesorim, Nizbaser Avram, Gam Sha'osid Beis HaMikdash Lichorev, the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, Ulakach, and therefore Sha'al, so therefore Avram Vinu asked the appropriate question, what's going to be after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers that there's going to be a takana, and that takana is going to replace the korbanos. Says the Marsha, ta takana is shetiknu likros b'moados b'korbanos hayom. So it's very interesting. We always assume that reading the korbanos hayom is a kiyum in the yom, meaning it's a kiyum in moadei Hashem and how we fulfill the moad. Now having a whole different dimension. That the Kriyas HaKorbanos on Moadim is not just a kiyum in the Moed, but it's also to guarantee the continued existence, salvation of the Jewish people. And therefore the Marsha says that when it says Kfar Tikanti in the Gemara, that's the Gemara's language here, is Korin B'yontif B'Sefer Torah Sheni, this Takot is referring to the second Sefer that we read in the Parashat of the Korbanos, the purpose that Kriya says to Marsha is Boim Lekapora, and therefore Mahani Lisrael, it operates in a way Ki'ilu Hikrivu, God considers that if they brought the Karbon itself. He says, this is an answer to the question, Madua Bechol Shabbos Ein Maftir Korei Karbonos Hayom, because in the case of the Maftir of Shabbos, that Takana was to enhance the Kriya. It wasn't to replace the korbanos, but dafka on the moadim, that's when we have the special korbanos of the moed, and we have now a substitute for that. Let's just read one more line, and then we'll finish it up for today. He says, "Kol zman sheim korim bahem," Hashem declares that as long as they read the seder korbanos, malani aleihem, I consider as if ki'ilu makrivim lefanai korban. Now please notice the word lefanai, because this is a direct response to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu time and time again says lefanav, right? Omar lefanav b'me'eda. Or, for example, before, where was it that he says that, just a second, what was the first lefanav? One second, Omar says, oh, here it is. Shema chas v'sholom, Yisrael chotim lefanecha. You see that consistency? Always the word lefanecha. So this, Rabosai, of course, has to do with the fact that chet is a result of lefanecha, meaning sometimes we forget that we're standing in front of Hashem, and therefore we sin. So what we have to do is we have to do a tshuva lefanecha. And whenever you see the word tshuva, it's always lefanecha. In this case of korbanos, the korbanos are coming to replace the tshuva, and it's always going to be lifnei Hashem. There are other religions that see it differently, but we're not going to mention them. So it's ki'ilu hikrafti lifanai korban, lifanai, it's always lifanai. Umochal ani al kol avonoseim, and that's going to bring a mechila for all their sins. And it's interesting, the word avon also includes mezid. It's not a pesha, but at least a mezid. That also is included in the power, inherent in the power of the korban to bring kapara. Now we go back to the mamados, that the bria itself, the whole creation, is dependent upon the seder on korbanos, and therefore we read the kriya of bria sa'olam on each day of the mamad. So we'll stop here. Let's just make a note of where we got to. How far are we from the seal? Let's see. Nope, it's going to probably take till Tuesday. So if you want to bring some schnapps on Tuesday, we'll make a siyum, and then we start in Ritz Hashem, Subis, Eric Shlishi, with Eric Nair Amarosa.
So is that what's within the ads? How about the
8:30 we'll do signage.
Okay.
All right then. All right, let's even close up here because Eric is not here today.